News Radio 690 KTSM presents the El Paso History Show with documentary filmmaker Jackson Polk and historian Melissa Sargent, streaming live at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by ephistory.com, the website for archived podcasts of this radio show and DVDs about El Paso history and heritage. ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. Call 915-581-7099. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Now, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Are you ready for history?
I am ready for history all day.
Good morning, Melissa. How are we today?
I'm alive and well. I want to know who said we could have summer.
Don't know that there was a question to be asked about that.
No, I'm just not ready for summer. I'm ready for fall.
You know what's worse is trying to get ready for winter. For me in this town, I get ready for summer. You just kind of like get mellow and get hotter. But in the winter, I get colder and colder and colder. You know, it depends on your deal.
No, I keep wearing, my flip-flops all winter long. So,
but here we are doing history in El Paso. A hot day, you're correct. Another hot day coming. But as it goes with the history, we got cool history.
We got hot history.
Well, it depends on your attitude. But today we're going to do no different. We're going to talk about it. And the regional history is where we're going today. But also, don't forget, 690 AM KTSM, that's how you find us.
That's right.
Generally.
Generally, you can do that. Or you can go to iHeartRadio.com and you can download the iHeartRadio app for your smartphone, tablet, or computer and listen to our show and KTSM Radio 690, our news radio, where you can go and get us anytime you want. And you can listen to our radio show on Saturdays. And or you can also go to the podcast.
EPHistory.com.
That's right. You'll never miss one of our events again.
Unless I don't put it up yet, which is the case for a couple of... They're on their way. I had a glitch in a file. Had to go back and get the original startup. But no, we do take care of that.
Also, but all of our other shows are there. So.
Yeah. We're about the last couple of years.
Keep you busy till you get it up.
Well, there's stuff to learn here. That's the whole point about El Paso history. We don't know it because we're not taught it in our schools. And so when you get a chance to like, oh, hey, that's cool. That's whatever.
Yes.
I was 45 years old before I figured out what the Mission Trail was. And that's not good.
No.
It's not. And it took a bunch of old white churches down the valley. That's neat. What are they? I don't know. But now I do. All right. Hey, Father's Day's coming, by the way.
That's right.
DVDs are available for Father's Day. There's a list on ephistory.com of stores. So if you get kind of lost of where do I get a video, call them up. Make sure they got the selection you're looking
for. That's right.
But also, we're going to give some of those away today, are we not?
That's right. I mean, if you want to be cheap, you could win one today by listening to our trivia contest.
And you have time to pick it up before Father's Day.
That's right. And you could win either a $20 gift certificate to Pepe's in Canutillo or win one of our wonderful El Paso Gold DVDs, which I have right here. And we've got like the MacGuffin Home, the Sea Ghost Stories El Paso. We've got the Rip Mexican Revolution Sites, Tom Lee's El Paso.
I put the Legends in there.
Legends
today.
Of El Paso's Mountain Women's Club, El Paso Smelter, which is a good one. We also have, I should say, we have El Paso Ghost Stories 2, 3, and 4.
Those are bizarre.
So these are great gifts. Like I said, you can either buy them for your dad or listen really close today and you could win one.
We're going to have some neat stuff today.
That's right.
Just real quick, the Sarco Cubes, the Stack Chips are still available at Pepe's today. We're going to lunch at Pepe's today, by the way.
Yes.
Pepe's lunch today, and they have the Stack Cube Chips. And it's a piece of concrete that came off the Sarco stack.
That's right.
It hit the ground, busted into a bazillion pieces. They let us pick up a bunch of them. We put them in an acrylic box so you can't touch them. But if you want to buy one, they've got them at Pepe's there today.
Right there.
So enough of all this. We got to get to the deal at hand here because, frankly, we got a lot of neat stuff going on this morning.
A lot to cover, yeah.
Well, Southern New Mexico is the general title of what we're looking at here. But the guy who knows this stuff is with us this morning. His name is Carl Lombach.
Bach. In my great-grandfather arrived in Northern New Mexico, according to the family Bible, on October 29th, 1859.
Oh, my gosh.
And so he was a German that came to Iowa, that came to Denver for the Colorado Gold Rush. He didn't find any gold. His father may or may not have been with him. They came down to Mora, and they married some local girls that were part of the Mora land grant. And we have an 1860 census record where the census taker, who was Hispanic, was taking down the name. It just says the list of E, but what it meant was the list of extranjeros, the strangers.
Oh, that would be you.
And that would have been us. And so he had these people write their name down, and then in Spanish he would write their name as he heard it, and then he would say what they had been doing in the area and how long they'd been there. So my great-grandfather, we think that was his signature, wrote Andreas with an A, Detlef Lomba, and spelled it as we do today. And the census taker below that wrote Andres with no A, and Lomba, L-O-M-B-A, Lomba. And so Lomba, it's been ever since.
There it goes. Wow. And it causes an earthquake when he hit the table. Be
That's
careful.
That's right. Well, Andres' fault there.
Yeah. How about we just call you Mr. Carl?
That works. That works, or Carl works.
Kind of like our own little Ellis Island
in
New Mexico.
I've been called a lot of things.
Oh, so. I'm sure you have, because you're the guy that's been out there on the front line of the history all over the Southwest. Mainly New Mexico.
New Mexico, not the Southwest.
You're not really branching off into other states these days, are you?
Not much, no.
You like New Mexico.
I love New Mexico.
And you live in Las Cruces.
In Las Cruces,
okay,
yeah.
Just a real quick some summary of your life up there that I understand it. You work for Systems?
Human Systems Research.
That crowd had the contract for archaeology at White Sands Missile Range.
For about 20 years, yes.
So you were like the main guy poking into holes and saying, oh, we got to put a missile thing over here. Let's go search the archaeology ahead of that.
That sort of thing. But we had Pete Eidenbach and David Kirkpatrick and Melly Duran. And at different times, we had as many as 6 principal investigators out there doing the work.
And I knew all those people.
And I got kicked upstairs and was an administrator for a while and absolutely hated it.
So. Oh, I bet.
You're back in the field, I guess.
I've been back in the field for some time.
You'd have to be. Well, the thing about Carl Lomba is that he's the guy that knows southern New Mexico history. So we asked him to come in and talk about stuff. Now, the White Sands Missile Range is something you can easily address, right?
Oh, yeah.
And so we might just ask you a few things, like we were talking before the show, the kind of animals that were imported that if they get in front of your car, they will hurt your car.
And you, if you're...
Right, the oryx.
Those things.
The oryx, yes.
Mm-hmm. Amazing history.
And those were, right. Those were imported...
In the
Why?
50s, 60s, and we can blame an archaeologist for that.
Oh, really?
Frank Hibben from the University of New Mexico, who was a very famous archaeologist, was also a big game hunter.
Oh.
And supposedly, in his role as an archaeologist and big game hunter, he also worked for the CIA in different places.
Oh.
But he was on the State Game Commission, and he had lots of trophies from Africa. And he decided that the oryx, the ibex, and the Barbary sheep were potentially endangered in their home country. And so he convinced the State Game Commission to bring them to New Mexico.
Wow. How's that worked out?
Well, mixed results for the animals. They end up being shot, but they have proliferated. Lots of Barbary sheep around. There's a big bunch in the northern end of the Sacramentos that people regularly hunt. The ibex also have done well, but they like the really high, craggy ground up in the top of the Floridas, and you better be in really good shape to go find an ibex. although there was a cowboy at Deming that roped one that was crossing between the Floridas and Cook's Peak.
But it was a bad idea, I bet.
Well, the game and fish didn't like it much. Yeah. Oops. And then the oryx have done really well on White Sands.
All right, so that's what's... Go ahead.
Well, have they interfered with the other natural animals we have in that area at all?
I don't think the oryx have had a substantial impact.
Okay.
They hang out down in the bottom. They do get up in the mountains a bit, but there's not much.
They don't overgraze or...
No.
All right, there's one thing about White Sands to ask, and now we've asked it. So, I mean, there's so many things about White Sands Missile Range to ask. Fabulous pieces of history. How much archaeology is out there? How many sites?
Bunches and bunches.
Thousands?
Oh, yeah, more than thousands.
Would you say 100,000?
At least
100,000.
Wow.
I mean, that's what I've seen documented is más o menos 100,000,
And they're not all recorded.
No.
Obviously. You know, in 1975, when I started doing contract archaeology, I worked on a site in the Cochiti Minimum Pool up by Cochiti Reservoir that was in the 1200s, or 12,000s, I guess it was. And now we're at almost 200,000 recorded for the state.
Wow.
And so it's really jumped. But there's lots and lots of sites out there.
You'll take almost any answer for how many sites there are. 100,000?
I would say 100,000.
Let's go with that.
What we've seen printed,
On White Sands. That's somebody's estimate.
Yeah.
Well, Carl Lombard is here, and the idea is to talk about New Mexico history. You have a specific museum you want to talk about, because you've done so many things in southern New Mexico. Let's get to the museum in a minute, but what is the most fascinating thing to you that you've run into when you archaeological researching that you've done?
Oh, my. I get asked that question a lot, and there's not just one fascinating thing. There's a sort of a laundry list of the top.
Well, let's go. Embryo Basin.
Several.
Embryo Basin.
Oh, the Embryo Battlefield was a wonderful project.
That's a biggie.
And took 10 years of my life, and now I listen to people that are involved in similar things, and they're all involved in the detail, and I look at them and I say, was I that crazy at the time?
Well, you were a pioneer in that. Let's tell people real quick what you did with 900 and some odd acres of a pristine battlefield never touched since the battle.
Well, it was near Victoria Peak, which was the scene of the lost gold. And so the gold hunters were coming back in the early 1990s, and we discovered where the battle had actually taken place. It was in the literature, but nobody really knew the spots, and we started finding cartridges. And so just shortly, over a period of time, several years, I used a lot of volunteers, and some of them from the El Paso Treasure Hunter Society. Bob Sproul, Colonel Bob Sproul, was one of the main guys.
Leon Metz was out there.
And Leon Metz was out there, and so we'd go out for a day, and we just sort of systematically took one piece of the battlefield after another, and we ended up metal detecting 900 acres.
Wow.
And recovering over 1,100 artifacts. About over 800 were cartridges. And Dr. Doug Scott, who had pioneered the forensic technique of looking at cartridges, their firing pin marks and extractor marks, and being able to tell which cartridges had been fired from the same weapon, he went through all those cartridges. And so we ended up with cartridges that we could say were from 146 different rifles and carbines and maybe 40 different pistols. And then we had locations on all those cartridges, very specific locations with GPS, which had just come in at the time. And then the other thing that had just happened at the time were geographic information systems, or GIS, which is on a computer. And you can bring up the map, and you can plot all those cartridges, and we could say, okay, 4570 gun number 30 was here, and then it was here, and then it was here. So we could... Knowing the course of the battle, we could track an individual gun, if not an individual fighter, across the course of the battle.
And this is both the Indians and the Army?
Yes, both sides.
Because you knew what kind of guns each group had,
roughly. No? Well, the Indians had all kinds of guns, mm-hmm. including the same kind of guns the troopers did.
Yeah.
But the military guns, because the Captain Carroll got in just before dark on April 6th of 1880, and as one of his lieutenants said, we were attacked. And so he took a defensive position, and so he was pretty static. And then the Apaches were all around him. So based on location, we could pretty well tell who were the cavalry and who were the Indians.
Wow, that's
amazing.
That's
battle.
Just amazing.
And that's a pristine battlefield because it just wasn't well known in history.
Exactly. The only impact that it had had was, you know, cowboys like to pick up arrowheads and cartridges, and then the gold hunters, the Doc Noss and that bunch back in the day had picked up a few cartridges as well.
Well, that changed the equation completely. Now, take 30 seconds and explain that one in 30 seconds. You can't do it. But the Doc Noss thing is gold, supposedly.
Right. Yeah, the whole Doc Noss, and Doc claimed he had climbed down into Victoria Peak on a deer hunt and found this wonderful treasure, and then he had a guy dynamite the place to make it more open and instead closed it down, and so people are still trying to get back in.
That's 30 seconds. That was pretty good,
there,
Carl.
Oh, thank you.
and it ended up in the Watergate hearings. There's all kinds of people coming out looking for John Dean.
Oh, yeah.
So that's that story. And the point is it's the same location as this Embryo battlefield.
Right.
So that's why this is kind of weird, because mm-hmm. you now have this battlefield sitting there, and now you know what it is. So mm-hmm. that's one of the main things, Carl. That's how I met Carl. He was doing a slideshow at the El Paso Archaeological mm-hmm. Society, and this was the topic. And I looked at that and said, what the heck? This is great.
Now, this is on private land now, isn't it?
No,
it is.
It was originally state land, and it's now within White Sands Missile Range.
Oh, so okay. There we go. Oh, that's right. Mm-hmm. Embryo. I apologize.
Well, that's why you had nobody messing with it. It was a remote location, an unknown.
Remote location, and then White Sands came in and shut it down.
Yeah. And then nobody could touch it.
Right.
Unlike the battle of Little Bighorn, wherever that is, and they picked up all the pieces, and they really can't figure out what happened to Custer except eyewitnesses.
Right. Well, the battlefield they did pretty well on because nobody had metal detected it. And Doug Scott, they had a big fire there in the 80s. And he said after that fire, he said, oh, gosh, let's bring in metal detectors. Oh. And so Doug Scott really was able to reinterpret what happened based on where the cartridges and the points are. And the beautiful thing about the Little Bighorn is it was all sod. So when the bullets hit, they stayed.
Oh, yeah.
When the bullets hit at Embryo, they hit rock, and they went flying all over the
bouncing
place.
Bouncing.
Yeah.
Interesting
Amazing.
Stuff. Carl Lombo's in the house. We're going to talk to him for a couple of hours. There's a specific museum we're going to talk about in central
That's
New
right.
Mexico. But in the meantime, we'll be going to take a break here and do trivia.
That's right.
Trivia. Now, you've got some trivia on the brain, Melissa?
I got one trivia question.
Yeah, well, just throw two out there, see what happens.
Well, we didn't cover all of them.
Oh, then pick another one.
Well, pick
okay, name some of the animals. How about that one? You
want
to try that one?
Okay.
All right, you deal with it.
I didn't write them all down, but
go for it. Carl will keep us straight here.
Okay. Like I said, we've got $20 gift certificates for Pepe's today or an El Paso Gold DVD. And the question being for the first one is, archaeological experts estimate how many prehistoric sites are located on White Sands. Now, we know that the number has been, kind of gotten more. It's science. It's going to change.
Well, we talked earlier
as to what we found is an established number we've seen, and we'd like you to come up with that number, and we mentioned it a couple of times. So how many prehistoric sites are located on White Sands?
How about a second question?
Name one of the animals that were put out onto White Sands Missile Range.
He named three.
He named three, yeah. But I can't name all of them. Like, name one.
He can.
Okay.
See,
so
Carl
name,
is here. We'll be the judge.
Name one of the three animals that are out that were put onto White Sands Missile Range back in the 50s as one of the archaeologists put out there.
Okay. The correction there were three different kinds of game animals imported.
Important.
Only one of them, to my knowledge, is actually found on White Sands Missile Range.
Oh, okay.
The others are in New Mexico.
Oh. Well, name an imported one then, whatever. We're going to take anything because we're trying to give this stuff away.
I understand.
You know how that goes.
You're a good man.
See, now, he's a man of honor. He can.
The phones are filling up. What is that phone
and
number?
The phone number is 915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the Juan and only margarita from the Cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs Restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan, near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
To join us on our little weekend rides, you have to have an appetite for the big and the weird. And one of the towns we'll be passing through this weekend almost defines that concept. The word Alamogordo means big cottonwood, so let's talk big for a moment. To our west is the world's largest gypsum dune field called the White Sands National Monument. And the Holloman Air Force Base is home to some of the biggest drones in the world with names like the Predator and the Reaper. You can also see the world's largest pistachio at Pistachio Land. Obviously, now we're starting to veer into weird. At our landfill, there's believed to be buried millions of copies of the Atari video game E.T. You might even make the argument that E.T. was a biker of sorts himself. So to be a hog or a member of the Harley Owners Group, you really only need to be weird, because our bikes are big. And you can check them out at Barnett Harley Davidson, or take the same finger E.T. used to phone home and click on BarnettHarley.com, because your life, just like your new Harley, should always be a great ride.
Come celebrate the new store grand opening of Napa Auto Parts, Saturday, June 10th from 10 to 3 at 6310 North Mesa. The Rock and Roll Trailer Sales Event features a classic car show, Napa race cars, and Napa special activities for the entire family with food, entertainment, prize giveaways, and special Napa sales and discounts like a quart of Napa Standard Oil for only 99 cents. Make Napa your first call for the tools and equipment you need. And don't miss the grand opening, Saturday, June 10th at 6310 North Mesa.
Nearly two-thirds of us say we want to eat healthier snacks. But when we're tempted with chips, cookies, and junk, what do? Eat chips, cookies, and junk. Tempt yourself with better snacks. NatureBox delivers delicious snacks made with simple ingredients right to your door. Like mini peanut butter oatmeal cookies, sourdough cheddar pretzels, and Big Island pineapple made with only one ingredient, pineapple. From bold new flavors to tasty twists on the classics, Nature Box has over 100 unique snacks to choose from, all with zero artificial junk. Don't like one? We'll replace it for free in your next box. So join over 1 million people who've already tried Nature Box. Start snacking better and loving every bite.
For a limited time, get 3 free snacks. That's up to $10 of free snacks when you visit naturebox.com/radio. Visit naturebox.com/radio for 3 free snacks today.
There's two ways you can be a VIP at Guns N' Roses in Miami. There's the wrong way.
I'm going backstage and you security apes ain't gonna stop me.
Is that a VIP pass?
I made it myself.
Cute.
And there's the iHeartRadio Ultimate Guns N' Roses Welcome to the Jungle VIP experience.
You know where you are.
You're in Miami, baby. You're gonna fly. You'll be in the pit and on the VIP Welcome to the Jungle riser. Backstage and behind the scenes. Signed guitar from the band and much more. Download and open our free iHeartRadio app and search keyword jungle to enter.
Now, more of the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive, Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Oh, we got phones that are full. We're going to be talking to folks like crazy here about history. And here's an announcement for you. Talk El Paso tonight, not today, but tonight, 6 to 8 p.m., a wrap-up of the El Paso campaigns and early election results. We'll bring you live night, election night coverage tonight, 6 to 8 p.m. on News Radio 690, how the would-be leaders fared. I think it could be even more voting on the near horizon. I'm not sure what he's talking about there. But there are impacts, fallouts, and possibilities. The political undercurrents happening now. Call in during the show. Our same number, 544-5876, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. tonight.
And you got history lessons coming up here Wednesday, June 14th at Las Cruces Railway Museum from 6 to 8 p.m. The Southwest Chapter of the Railway and Locomotive Historical Society will meet. And their program, or this June program, is the El Paso Northeastern Rail Lines, presented by Ron Lyman. And the program and dinner cost is only $10. Please RSVP to 915-540-9660. And talking about history, vote today.
Yeah.
Today is the last day you can vote from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., and this is a very important day. You know, I was looking up some facts this week. Texas as a whole was down in voting altogether, and El Paso is in the... Well, I won't even say it, is really down low on his voting. Get out there and vote. Don't complain. A lot of people complain about our city leaders. Get out there. Get your word out there. Vote.
And don't undervote. That's stupid.
Oh, that's so stupid. I mean,
anyway.
Just vote. Get out there. Or if you don't want to vote for the mayor, but vote for other people. There are other people to vote. Get out there and vote. And then you can listen to your son tonight talking about this.
It's 6 o'clock. He's on tonight.
I know.
All right. We're going to ask our guest here, Carl Lombo, to pick something. I didn't tell you we were going to do this.
Oh, the Oñate special.
But get that Pepe's menu. And what you do, Carl, is you pick any one of those things on there becomes today's special because you picked it. And therefore, it's no longer the price on the menu. It's only $6. So you see all those specials up there, the combination plates. Mm-hmm. This is your chance to contribute. Pick one that you – and if you go out there today, you can get it for that price, or I'll buy you lunch today, the case may be. Which one do you think?
Oh, my. Well, it all looks grand, absolutely grand. I'm big on delight items these days, so I really like their light menu for those who are looking for a little less fat and a little
there
less carb. But I'm a big guy on chili rellenos, and
there
so
you go.
I would say the three you get three chili rellenos, which you don't often see in a lot of restaurants. You just get two, so three chili rellenos with whole Mesilla Valley green chili, stuffed with a mild cheddar cheese, dipped in an egg batter with frijoles and rice.
Lunch today.
There you go. Lunch.
Hey, there you go. So that's today's special, the Oñate special. Let's see what we can do about this with some questions here.
That's right.
Shall we go in? We'll go in the order that these people called up. You got a question for Leo? Leo, good morning, by the way.
Good morning, Leo.
Yes, good morning.
Okay, the question I have for you is, archaeological experts estimate how many prehistoric sites are located on White Sands?
No, you were breaking up there. I didn't quite.
Okay. The archaeological experts estimate how many prehistoric sites are located on White Sands. We had a number out there earlier.
How many sites are there? There's thousands, let's put it that way. How many? Well, there you go on that one, then. I guess Leo didn't want to play that game. Let's move on to number five, and this would be George. George, you got you on the radio. Good morning.
Good morning, Melissa, Jackson, and Carl.
The George in San Elizario. How you doing?
Hey, buenos días, le de Dios.
As a 1960 graduate of La Cruz High School, I'm really enjoying the show today.
Well, oh, good. You're one of those, huh?
Yeah.
100,000 sites at White Sands.
That's the number we're going to take. Mm-hmm. We don't really know.
I mean, it's going to change. Like he said, he's increased even more. I mean, it's science. Science is continually fluid, I think, in my mind. It's always finding new things. So,
George, how you been, man? You haven't won this contest in a while, have you?
No. Yeah, I've missed my chances. I've been very busy with other things. Some of my articles are appearing in different journals throughout the state of New Mexico and Colorado.
Cool. Oh, cool.
So I've been pretty busy with that sort of thing. And sometimes I only get a chance to listen to half of the show. But I haven't called in a long time. So I'm ready for some of that long Chile Relleno.
Oh.
Are you ready for that? Okay. Should we just assume you're taking Pepe?
He's taking Pepe's, I think.
Fair enough. Is that right, George?
What's that now?
Is that your answer for your prize?
Is Pepe's?
The U.S. estimated around 100,000 sites.
Yeah, well, right. You got the prize.
You got it.
You won. You won. Now you got to pick a prize. Pepe's.
The meal.
Pepe's.
I'm moving too much weight.
There you go. All right. Well, thank you for calling, George, and listening. Hang on. Shelley will come tell you to pick up your prize. All right.
All righty.
Take care, George.
Thank you much. You take her easy. We've had somebody fill up that empty line. Oh, but now we've got to go to Brian. Brian's the next guy in line. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning. How you doing?
Good morning. Fine.
We got a question for Brian?
We have a question for Brian. What? Well, there's actually, we mentioned three animals that are out that have been in the White Sands area. If you could name one of the animals that are out in the White Sands area.
They were imported from another continent. Any one of the three.
Yeah, you had the oryx.
Uh-huh.
The ibex.
That's all you need.
And
what was the third one, Carl?
The Barbary sheep.
The Barbary sheep
and the ibex, not necessarily on White Sands. They probably cross once in a while, but the oryx, the first one you mentioned, definitely lots of them on White Sands.
The oryx are more of a flatland animal, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, there you go, Brian. You got that all figured out.
Well,
thank
great.
You for playing. Appreciate
so
it.
We have gold, El Paso Gold DVDs. Which one would you be interested in? We have MacGuffin Home,
Legends
Ghost Stories 2, 3, and 4, Legends of the Mountains, Tom Lee's El Paso, The Revolution Sites, Women's Club, Smelter.
You want to know?
I'm sorry?
Probably Legends of the Mountain.
There you go. You will find out about the Lost Padre Mine, which came to a very interesting part of our history here. All right, well, Brian, thanks for playing. Do appreciate it.
Stay on the line.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Good to talk to you. Thanks for holding on there. Shelley, we got another winner here. And I want to thank the control room people.
Yes.
Shelley Sutherland answering the phones today.
Yay.
And the man who does the electrons, his name is Sergio Valenzuela. He is the man who pushes electrons. Carly does it one electron at a time. He's real fast.
He's an electric man.
So there. Well, thank you for playing, everybody. Appreciate that, Carl. We're going to come back and talk about a specific interesting museum.
That's right.
That Carl has found to work with. I mean, you work with a lot of museums. I presume,
in your career.
Some
museums, but this one much more than any others. Yes.
And the name of the museum is?
Geronimo Springs Museum in Truth or Consequences.
Ooh, this is going to be fun.
It's a neat little museum.
Hey, if you want to get involved, if you have a need to call us, or look at Facebook, by the way.
That's I'll be on there shortly.
Carl's picture's up there. His in the field picture.
Right.
Did you take a picture of him?
I have not even been on Facebook yet. I've been busy.
Busy. Call us up if you like.
915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
The clock is ticking. Every day you put off buying life insurance can cost you big time. The older you get, the more you'll have to pay. And a sudden accident or unexpected illness could cause your rates to skyrocket or even make you uninsurable. Beat the clock. Call SelectQuote now. No hassle, no obligation. In minutes, you'll have a choice of your best rates from up to 10 highly rated life insurance companies. Richard, 40 years old, takes meds to control his cholesterol. Still, SelectQuote got him a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $24 a month, under a dollar a day. Don't risk your family's security another minute. Get your free quote now. Just call 1-800-280-8787. That's 1-800-280-8787. 1-800-280-8787. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Go to ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history and for podcasts of our weekly radio show and for a list of area stores that carry our DVDs, like El Paso's Waco Tanks, Mexican Revolution sites in El Paso, and Legends of El Paso's Mountains. 18 titles in all, plus links to dozens of TV stories about El Paso area history. Go to ephistory.com for a journey into El Paso's amazing history. ephistory.com.
Come celebrate the new store grand opening of Napa Auto Parts, Saturday, June 10th from 10 to 3 at 6310 North Mesa. The Rock and Roll Trailer Sales Event features a classic car show, Napa race cars, and Napa special activities for the entire family with food, entertainment, prize giveaways, and special Napa sales and discounts like a quart of Napa Standard Oil for only 99 cents. Make Napa your first call for the tools and equipment you need. And don't miss the grand opening, Saturday, June 10th at 6310 North Mesa.
Hi, I'm Scotty Clark from Scott Heating and Cooling. Purchasing air conditioning for your home or business is a significant investment, and choosing the wrong contractor can be both financially and emotionally devastating. So with a lifetime warranty on installation, my 10-year peace of mind warranty, 24/7 service, 0% financing for 72 months, and as always, my personal guarantee that you'll be satisfied or I will buy it back. What are you waiting for? Call the very best today, Scott Heating and Cooling, at 595-4529.
Let me ask you a question. How long has it been since you've updated your home or business list of assets or property inventory? In the case of a loss by fire, theft, or natural disaster, the insurance company and police will ask for detailed descriptions and often require pictures as proof of ownership. If you can't remember, you can't recover. Contact Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services. Our process provides detailed documentation of what you own. There is no price tag on peace of mind. Call 915-581-7099.
The El Paso History Show, brought to you by ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive, Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Coming up here talking about El Paso Archaeological Society. There's a speaker. This is coming June 17th, Dr. Kendra Moore, community outreach interpreter at Waco Tanks, and she's going to talk about the past and inspiring the future, the history of interpretation at Waco Tanks. And so she's going to do that for EPAS, El Paso Archaeological Society, 2 o'clock on June 17. Neat stuff coming up there. Fernando Arias, call him up, 449-9075. Neat stuff in archaeology. Check it out there.
And today at 2 p.m. at the El Paso Museum of Archaeology, they're presenting Dr. Paul Minnis. He's a professor emeritus at the University of Oklahoma, and his research is focused on the archaeology and ethnobotany of the pre-Hispanic Southwest and Northwest. And his talk today will be on Thinking Globally, Acting Locally, Pake May and the International Four Corners. And then after his talk, there'll be a book signing and reception celebrating the opening of the exhibit Pake May and Casas Grandes Culture and the Rocks Speak, the Petroglyphs of the Casas Grandes Region. This talk is going to be a great event, and you should really get out there, like I said, again, today at 2 p.m. And this exhibit that they're going to have following his talk is going to run through October 21st. Again, that's at the El Paso Museum of Archaeology out there on Trans Mountain Road. And also, if you've got the kids at home driving you nuts already, there's summer camps going on at the Archaeology Museum, and they're going on from June through August. So give George Maloof a call at 755-4332, or just give the museum a call and you can find out about the museums. They've got some great programs out there, from archaeology, different types of things going on, summer camp trips and all kinds of neat things. Great program for the kids.
They've got some summer camps here downtown at the History Museum for anybody, not just your kids. The Science of History in June, History Mysteries 1 in July, Mission Trails and Conquest, All the history museums and the two history museums in El Paso that deal with archaeology and history, they're pretty active. That's pretty good. Today, Maria Natividad is down there today at the Museum of History, 1 to 3 p.m., Pastels of the Desert. What you need to do today is join us out at Pepe's. We'll be there about 12:30. Come meet Carl Lombaugh. He's out there. He'll be talking about stuff. And if you have a question we didn't get to during the show, Carl will probably be able to answer it. But Carl is going to go out there. And what are you having for lunch today, Carl?
I think I'm going to do the chile rellenos.
Chile rellenos coming out there, Yoñate special. And when you get out there, you're being the archaeology kind of guy that you are. I want you to verify something for me. I claim that where we sit there to eat in Pepe's restaurant is actually directly where the horses came on the Camino Real. Take a look at it. It's adjacent Donovan, and I think it's between Donovan and the river. And I think if you were in a caravan, somebody's horse would have gone right through there eventually.
I suspect you're right.
So we're going to go take a look at that
all
today.
Right. Sounds interesting.
And the Oñate special is because of that. So there. All right, enough of this. Carl Lombaugh is here, and he knows stuff about southern New Mexico history. But there's something that caught your attention specifically on a museum in Truth or Consequences. Explain what the heck you're up to with this new book.
Well,
old book, actually.
It's a book that's been out since 1988, and I've been involved with Geronimo Springs Museum since about 1988. I came from northern New Mexico. The New Mexico, southern New Mexico desert was a whole new trip for me and trying to get used to it. And one of my anthropology professors took me up into the Black Range, and my gosh, it looked a lot like home, and the peoples talked the same variety of Spanish that we speak in northern New Mexico. It's a little different, and it turns out that they're descendants from people who came down the river from northern New Mexico. And that's why that occurred. So I just sort of fell in love with Sierra County and was asked to join the museum board in about 1990 and served for 10 years and then was gone for a while. And then I had another stint of about 3 years just a few years ago. It's a wonderful museum. The people of Sierra County started it in the 1970s, and a guy named Bill Bueller sort of ramrodded it, a lawyer there in Truth or Consequences. And they've added on rooms and additions to the building. But more importantly, the people of Sierra County have supported it by bringing in items from Sierra County history. And so they have paleontological material, that mammoth skulls that came out of Elephant Butte Lake from the gravels. They have a tremendous collection of prehistoric pottery that was donated by locals. They've got ranching materials. They've got Hispanic heritage artifacts, a huge archive of photographs and documents, paintings. And, of course, they have all the artifacts related to the naming of Truth or Consequences, if you're curious about how that goes. Ralph Edwards.
Ralph Edwards, yes.
And they have photographs of all the pageants from the 1950s on through. A few years ago, I was reading Jim Eccles' book on White Sands Missile Range, mm-hmm. and he talked about a Clara Melendres, who was a beauty queen at White Sands in the 50s, and then she had won the Fiesta Queen contest in Truth or Consequences. And I looked at that, and I thought about it a minute, and I said, that's Clara Apodaca. That's Jerry Apodaca, or Governor Apodaca's wife.
The plot thickens.
Yeah, yeah. And so I found a photo of her at that fiesta in Geronimo Springs Museum's archives. But anyway, it just goes on and on.
Yeah.
It's a volunteer organization for the most part. It's owned by the Sierra County Historical Society. It's a nonprofit. They struggle every year. To make ends meet, like small museums do.
If you had too much money, they'd help you out spending it?
Absolutely, absolutely. Okay. If you can find a way to help them out with a donation or anything you can do, that would be greatly appreciated.
They have some wonderful banquets. One of their board members is an accomplished caterer, and her brisket is to die for.
But so this is in downtown, beautiful downtown.
Downtown Truth or Consequences.
And it is a neat little museum. Bernie and I have been in there. It's a fun museum. It's got a little bit of everything.
It really does. And they've got a great gift shop and a lot of books for sale there.
So there's no end to how you can learn history if you're really interested.
Absolutely.
Go in there.
Absolutely.
Get immersed.
You can spend a lot of time. And so speaking of fundraising, this book that we're talking about is a fundraising mechanism for Geronimo Springs Museum. And in back to the Hembrio Battlefield that we were talking about earlier, when I was doing the Hembrio Battlefield out on White Sands, Jim Eccles, public affairs guy at White Sands, called me up one day and he said, I just talked to this elderly man from Las Cruces. He called me up and he said he had a .45-70 carbine that he had pulled out from under a rock at Hembrio in 1929.
Whoa.
And I go, whoa, that's cool. I'd like to see that, you know, because we could match the carbine firing pin marks to the cartridge firing pin marks. That sort of thing. And he says, yeah, but he told me he didn't want to talk to any stinking archaeologist.
Well,
and
that rules you out because you're just an archaeologist.
And I laughed. I says, that has to be Keith Humphreys. And I'd been shooting pool with his nephew for 40 years.
He's the guy you knew?
And so he took me over and introduced me to Keith. Keith was in his 90s, and Keith was real interested in what we were doing. He was very kind and nice, and he brought out that .45-70 and had that old weathered wood look of a gun that had been out in the weather for years. And you could still click it off. The mechanism still worked. But anyway, as I got to know Keith, I realized that he had this wonderful book out. And the book is the result of his lifetime passion for these stories of the Old West. He grew up in West Texas. He was born in 1907. And he heard these stories, and like a lot of people did, my dad and uncles all repeated those kind of stories. But Keith went another step farther. He kept collecting those stories even when he went to New Mexico A&M, which is NMSU now. And in 1929, he went out to Lincoln, and he found George Coe, who had fought with Billy the Kid. And he got George Coe to lead him around the town of Lincoln and talk about the big fight where Billy escaped from the burning building.
Can you imagine a tour like that?
Oh, man. Oh, you know,
first-hand experience.
Yeah. He went out and talked to all these people who lived that life. And that's the name of the book is Apache Land from Those Who Lived It.
Wow.
And so he found Billy Bates, who had been a packer for the 9th Cavalry during the Victorio campaign, and he went out to places with him. He went up to Hillsboro and found Sadie Orchard and heard stories of the mining camps and all of that.
Could he get on site at White Sands at this time?
In 1929, absolutely.
That's what they did.
There was no White Sands.
Right, just right on over there.
Yeah, it was just another place in the mountains.
Wow.
And so that's why he was able to find that 4570. So he just kept pulling these stories together. He was a quite a guy. He was a very popular guy. He was a star athlete for New Mexico A&M. Averaged 12 points a game on the basketball team, and was voted the greatest Aggie, I think, in 1931.
Yeah.
And he was also a captain a leader in the ROTC. And so he graduated in the 30s and was writing some of these stories up, and he collected photographs as he did this. He had a lot of archival photographs. And then World War II came along, and he wanted to fly. He was a pilot, but something about his eyes or his age kept him from doing that. So they put him in the Corps of Engineers, and he ended up in the Pacific. Now, the Corps of Engineers in the Pacific did a lot of fighting, putting in the different bases. And Keith saw a good amount of that and came home with a terrible case of PTSD, really changed the man in many ways. They put him in the hospital. They recognized that there was something wrong, but then he got Senator Clinton Anderson to get him out. And he got a degree. He had his degree in engineering, so he got a job with White Sands Missile Range and had a long, distinguished career there. He developed a camera mount that could track missile flights in three dimensions. And he got an award for his invention and so on. Very proud of that.
It was a triaxial missile. I was looking at the notes I had. A triaxial missile tracking camera mount.
Exactly.
Yep. Amazing.
And then when he retired, he took painting lessons.
But he ended up flying, though. He did get his flying license.
He could fly. The military just wouldn't let him fly.
But he talked about he would fly back over all the areas where he grew up. He had his dog, mm-hmm. Bowser.
Oh, this is the guy with the dog?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Bowser was mm-hmm. his co-pilot. Mm-hmm. Oh. Mm-hmm. His favorite mm-hmm. co-pilot.
Yeah, he was, as he has been described, as the terror of the Las Cruces airport. he'd come winging in for a landing and everybody would scatter. He went over international airspace too. He has aerial photos of Janos in this book.
Oh my gosh!
And showing where Mangus Coloradus came in with his wounded son to find a doctor after a big fight in the 1860s.
Oh, you've got him here. We got to take a break, but you don't go away. Okay. You got progress right here.
Okay.
And we also have a caller. We're going to talk to a caller real quick named Alan. Alan, good morning. You're on the radio.
Good morning, sir.
What's
good
up?
Good morning.
I got a couple questions to ask your guest, and it's about ammunition that he found up there and for that. And I got another one about cannonballs he may be able to answer.
Okay.
All right. Can you hold a second? We're going to take a break. We'll take you right
up to
the... Hold on there. All right, 544-WHAT?
5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the one and only margarita from the Cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs Restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan, near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
To join us on our little weekend rides, you have to have an appetite for the big and the weird. And one of the towns we'll be passing through this weekend almost defines that concept. The word Alamogordo means big cottonwood, so let's talk big for a moment. To our west is the world's largest gypsum dune field called the White Sands National Monument. And the Holloman Air Force Base is home to some of the biggest drones in the world with names like the Predator and the Reaper. You can also see the world's largest pistachio at Pistachio Land. Obviously, now we're starting to veer into weird. At our landfill, there's believed to be buried millions of copies of the Atari video game E.T. You might even make the argument that E.T. was a biker of sorts himself. So to be a hog or a member of the Harley Owners Group, you really only need to be weird, because our bikes are big. And you can check them out at Barnett Harley Davidson, or take the same finger E.T. used to phone home and click on BarnettHarley.com, because your life, just like your new Harley, should always be a great ride.
Nearly two-thirds of us say we want to eat healthier snacks. But when we're tempted with chips, cookies, and junk, what do? Eat chips, cookies, and junk. Tempt yourself with better snacks. NatureBox delivers delicious snacks made with simple ingredients right to your door. Like mini peanut butter oatmeal cookies, sourdough cheddar pretzels, and Big Island pineapple made with only one ingredient, pineapple. From bold new flavors to tasty twists on the classics, NatureBox has over 100 unique snacks to choose from, all with zero artificial junk. Don't like one? We'll replace it for free in your next box. So join over 1 million people who've already tried NatureBox. Start snacking better and loving every bite.
For a limited time, get 3 free snacks. That's up to $10 of free snacks when you visit naturebox.com/radio. Visit naturebox.com/radio for 3 free snacks today.
His eyes darted between the blue wire and then the red wire. Back to the blue, back to the red. A bead of sweat dropped from his brow to his hand, which grasped a pair of pliers. He took a deep breath, steadied himself, and cut both with one swift squeeze of his tool. The boy screamed as the doctor pried the braces from his teeth.
If this 20-second performance made you feel something, imagine what an entire Audible book can do. Visit audible.com to start your free 30-day trial.
Little Caesars, the home of the large hot and ready pizzas, like the classic pepperoni for $5 and the deep, deep dish pepperoni for $8. And don't forget the crazy bread. All this and more at Little Caesars, plus tax at participating locations.
And as he said, okay, I don't know what happened to the computer, but anyway, we're back here. And we do have Alan on the phone here. We're going to put Alan on the radio with Carl. Carl and Alan, you're talking. Go ahead, Alan.
All right. Yes, sir. I would like to know when that battle up there at Victoria Peak, or in 1880, I guess you said it happened. I know a little bit about it, but what I'd like to know, when you did your research up there and explored around and found the empty casings, could you tell me if they were the internal primed or the external ones? The one would be brass and the other would be copper.
Most of them were internally primed.
Okay, that has the crimp around the base of the shell casing.
Right, it was Binet primed. The majority of them, more than half of them, did not have a date on them, and so they were manufactured 1876 or before. And then, then slightly less than half of them had 77 and 78 dates on them.
Yeah, a lot of the earlier ones didn't have a date stamped on. Then, of course, when they went to the external prime ones, the Boxer, I think the U.S. used, and the most foreign armies used Berdan. But the Custer battlefield, that's where they had the problems, I guess, with the carbines. Had some extractor rip-throughs and everything. But at the Bighorn also, there is Sergeant Ryan with Benteen and Reno, and he had a 73 rifle, and he had a cleaning rod, and he used that to clear a lot of jams there. So I don't know if a lot of people know that or not.
Yeah, we had about a 4% rate of problems with cartridge extraction based on what Doug was able to see on the cartridges. And then we also found one very rare cartridge. We couldn't even tell what it was until he cleaned it off. A very early 55 carbine cartridge that says was stamped U.S. carbine, and that dated back to 1874, only produced for about 6 months.
Wow.
Yeah. And did you find any 5070 stuff?
Lots of 5070s.
Yeah, okay. And they were internal prime too, weren't they?
Most of them, yes. Not all of them. We did have some externally primed 5070s. And some of those 5070s, most of them were fired from Springfields. Doug was able to tell from the extractor marks whether it was an 1866 Springfield or an 1868 Springfield.
Yeah.
We had them both, and then there were some 5070s being fired out of Remingtons and Sharps.
Yeah. Did you find any 44 rimfires?
Oh yeah. Yeah, the Henry, we had either Henry or Winchester 66
with a double head strike.
Yes, uh-huh. And some of those had been struck as many as 22 times
before it fired.
Yeah, before it clicked. The Henry that mechanism let a lot of dust in, and so getting a good clean strike was difficult. So you had some very frustrated Apaches.
And they also used it at the Custer battlefield too.
Mm-hmm.
The other question, I'd make it quick, because I know you're probably running out of time.
I'm glad you guys can understand each other. This is good. Go ahead.
Cannonballs. Have you found in the area, New Mexico, any copper cannonballs?
No, I have not.
Well, you know what I'm talking about, right, Doc?
Because
at the Battle of Palo Alto, Mexican-American War, the first battle with Zachary Taylor, and the other battle, I can't think of the name of it, Ruz Scala or something like that, the day after, the Mexican military used copper cannonballs. Also used them at the Alamo, too.
I'll be darned. I did not know that.
I asked, why not use iron? Because it was easier, because Mexico had plenty of copper, so they just make copper cannonballs.
A big BB. I'll be darned.
And what it is, they found out, they did testing and everything, and the range is just about, the copper is a little bit less, not 100 yards or less range on it. So they weren't, some people, they were deprived against the American artillery. They were not. It worked.
Bizarre information you guys are talking about. Well, thanks for ringing up, Alan. Appreciate it.
That's good enough. One of these days, I'll call back.
Very good. Thanks a lot. You take it easy.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
You take care. Also, before we go to break here, a question off of Facebook. Chewy Martinez, besides bullet casings and other battlefield artifacts, what were discovered? Any buckles, weapons? Have you found weapons? You found one weapon we know about.
Well, Humphreys found a weapon, and different parts of weapons had been found before, the side plate to a 73 Winchester, that sort of stuff. We had a few buckles and pieces of tack, just plain buckles. We had two curry combs stamped with a U.S. stamp on them that were found in the position where the troopers had been pinned down.
We also had some of the Cross Sabers emblems. One of the strangest things we had was a side snap for a dress helmet. And I can't figure out how that got out there. I don't think anybody was wearing a dress helmet.
Fill up the pocket. You never know.
But there you go.
Carl Lombaugh is in the house.
Out of a saddlebag.
Got Carl here till noon. We're about to take a break here for the news and come back and talk about stuff even further.
Ooh.
Because we've just gotten into this Humphreys book. Mm-hmm. And who was he? What did he do? And what are we going to do about it?
Mm-hmm.
After the news. Let's talk about that. See you then.
For listening to the El Paso History Show. There's another hour to go, so please stay tuned. This hour is brought to you by Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, home of the one and only margarita. EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history, Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. We'll be right back after the news right here on News Radio 690 KTSM El Paso.